Welcome to Inside the Newsroom, the Sentinel Records weekly podcast that takes a closer look at news and sports in Garland County. The Army-Navy Hospital looms over downtown Hot Springs, an imposing behemoth. The Spanish Revival-style building served as the country's first combined general hospital for both the Army and Navy. The hospital was proposed in 1882 by Dr. A.S. Garnett, a former Confederate Army surgeon, at a dinner party at the Palace Bathhouse on Central Avenue in honor of Senator John A. Logan, a former Union general. The senator agreed with Garnett and promised to introduce legislation for an appropriation, and by the end of June, $100,000 was approved for the construction of a 30-bed joint military hospital. President Chester A. Arthur himself signed the bill the same year, and the first iteration of the Army-Navy Hospital was opened in 1887, made of red brick, slate, and wood, replaced by the present seven-story fireproof brick and steel structure, which was built in 1933. During the 1940s, the facility was the largest center for the treatment of adults with polio because of the hot springs baths available for patients. After World War II, many soldiers who suffered grievous wounds or lost limbs were sent to the facility for the hydrotherapy treatments offered. From the late 1940s to the early 1950s, the hospital was one of the top five employers in Garland County. In 1960, the facility was handed from the federal government to the state of Arkansas to become a rehabilitation hospital, with the stipulation that the property would immediately revert to the federal government if the property ceased to be used for health or education. The facility was rechristened as the Hot Springs Rehabilitation Center and run by Arkansas Rehabilitation Services. In this period of its history, stretching until 2009, the facility served those with disabilities. In 2007, the main seven-story building was added to the National Register of Historic Places as part of the Army and Navy General Hospital District. In 2009, the facility became the Arkansas Career Training Institute and switched gears to focus on vocational training. The Career Training Institute was set for closure by the end of 2019 as a result of Governor Hutchinson's reorganization of state government in Act 910. In 2020, the now abandoned facility was included in Preserve Arkansas's annual list of most endangered places. Arkansas Rehabilitation Services expected the property to transfer to the federal government within 6 months of its July 2020 departure, which triggered the reversion clause in the 1960 deed that conveyed the property from the Army to the state. But the reversion has yet to take place, and the campus has been in limbo ever since, with the state still owning it despite no longer providing the service that gave it the title to the property in 1960. Arkansas Rehabilitation Services said in February that no security has been provided since it left. The National Park Service said it monitors the property but can't provide a dedicated security presence. The Army and Navy General Hospital hasn't had a tenant since the state left in July 2020, but the interior lights are still turned on and off, visible through the building's many windows. Dr. Jack Porter said, quote, "It looks like a college dormitory at night with all those lights. There should not be a single light on in that building. The National Park didn't turn them on, and the state didn't turn them on," end quote. Porter leads the Greater Hot Springs Chamber of Commerce Future of the Army and Navy Hospital Executive Committee, the organization that has been looking for a new tenant or purpose for the main seven-story structure and the dozens of smaller buildings in the campus. According to Porter, the Hot Springs Police Department's acoustical gunshot detection sensors have traced gunfire back to the campus. Porter explained that the property has been left to the depredations of vandals and squatters who have set up a lawless camp. On April 21st, the state confirmed that security will be returning to the Army and Navy General Hospital campus, pending legislative approval. We have with us today David Showers, the primary reporter covering the Army-Navy Hospital. So very recently, Arkansas Rehabilitation Services said it concluded bidding for a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week armed security for the Army-Navy Hospital building and campus. So what can you tell me about that, and is it a sure thing that it'll get legislative approval? Because I understand that Chip McAfee, Arkansas Rehabilitation Center Communication Director, he said security services would have to be paid for by state rainy day funds. So is that at all a questionable decision?
You know, I don't think so. I think that most times an expense like that is something that the the legislature would just rubber stamp probably. So yeah, I mean, I'm pretty confident that they'll disperse that money for a security contractor, which, you know, should be here, what, next month or by June. You know, that building hasn't really had any security for 2 years. And according to the local Chamber of Commerce, a, quote, lawless camp has developed in the building, which I don't, that seems possibly an overstatement, but still concerning to even use that kind of description for what's going on in that building.
It is interesting, because our office is like basically right across the street down the hill from it. And I, every night, like when I come out, I see, like even during the day, I see lights on in there, like it, through the different windows. And it's not the state, it's not the National Park Service. So it's just people in there. And I didn't know the electricity was still going in there.
Right. Well, I think they have to keep the electricity on to keep the fire suppression system viable. Because there's, you know, quite an elaborate, I think, sprinkler system in there. And if they don't have electricity, they can't use it. But yeah, that is pretty brazen that people just turn the lights on into a building they shouldn't be in and don't seem to have any qualms or worries about it.
I don't imagine they've had much enforcement at all.
No.
So, yeah. And was it the police that said that they had... they like heard or there's some system they had picked up on gunshots?
Well, that's coming from the chamber. We haven't confirmed that from the police department. But yeah, supposedly the city has an acoustical gunshot detection system that's right now it's set up in about 2 square miles of the city. They won't tell us where, but they recently got funding to double that to 4 square miles. And apparently the hospital is in one of the covered areas, and according to the chamber, the sensors have picked up gunfire over there before, which that shot spotter is supposed to be very accurate. I mean, it's supposed to be able to triangulate the location of gunfire to within a few feet.
Wow. This is another interesting question. Kind of tied to the security having to come from the state, why hasn't Arkansas Rehabilitation Services been able to utilize its own federal funding to contract for security?
Well, I guess because the way that they have title to that building is that they have title as long as they're using it for, you know, health or education. When the federal government deeded that building to the state back in 1959, 1960, they did it on the condition that they would use it for health or education, which... when ARS was operating its vocational and job placement program, a residential program for young people with disabilities, it was fitting that need. But since the fall of 2019, the last class, that was when the last class from the ACTI school, Arkansas Career Training Institute, graduated. So it hasn't been used for that purpose since then. So if they're not using it for that purpose, they can't get any of the federal funds that ARS uses for, you know, other programs across the state. That's what they did when they got rid of that residential program. The state said, well, we can, you know, provide job training and job placement more efficiently by doing it through our field offices. I think there's about 20 statewide. So... I forgot, was that the question? Oh, why can't they use their federal funds? I guess that's it, because they're really not using the building anymore. Often to refer to it as an orphaned building in stories, and I think that's apt because, well, the state still has title to it, but they effectively abandoned it in the summer of 2020. So, you know, they don't want it. So per the deed, it's supposed to revert back to the Army, right? But the Army doesn't want it either because I guess they don't want the liability. Supposedly there's a more involved environmental assessment up there trying to decipher what environmental liabilities are present. And according to the chamber, the Army's not going to even consider taking that building until all of those items are inventoried. You know, it's a slow moving process.
And that environmental assessment was phase two, and there was a phase one?
Right. There was a phase one. I got a copy of it through a records request, I think in February of 2020. And the phase one is just, you know, really preliminary. It kind of says there's the possibility of this. And in the second phase, they would come in and take actual core samples out of the ground to see what is in there. You know, people don't really know.
I think it was a Rotary meeting where that you covered, actually. He suggested strongly that there's like a potential environmental threat that the property had to the hot springs in town.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I've written about the recharge zone in general, and it's, extends way out beyond the city. But I've never heard of this shallow ground recharge area that is supposedly right there on the southern slope of Hot Springs Mountain, which the ACTI campus is, hard against that mountain. But that's an interesting thing because, per that 1959 Act of Congress that transferred that 20-acre campus from the Army to the state, it gave the Department of the Interior the right of first refusal when that transfer took place. But in December of 2020, they wrote a letter and said, we don't want it. We don't have a use for it. But I don't know. If that area really is on a sensitive, important area for the hot springs, it would seem like that would be something that the Department of Interior would be interested in, because if whatever kind of environmental liabilities could leach into that shallow recharge area, then, what's going to come out of the hot springs over further north on Hot Springs Mountain? So that's just, again, it's an orphan building. Nobody really seems to want it or want to take any responsibility for it. And I mean, you can see what a huge liability is. I mean, it dominates downtown from its perch up there. What's going to happen to that building? I mean, it'll be years and years probably before there's some kind of disposition on who even has a title to the building right now, because that's still, I mean, the state has the title, but per that deed, it was supposed to go back to the U.S. Army almost 2 years ago, but they're still wrangling over that whole process.
And that 1959 Act of Congress, was it explicitly the Army that it would revert to, or just the federal government?
I think it says the Army.
And is there a chance that some other branch or department of the federal government would take it? Or?
Well, I think once that reversion process is complete, I think what would actually happen is that it would probably go to the General Services Administration, which I think is the government agency that's kind of in charge of all the federal government buildings. And then, once it gets in their hands, I don't think much is going to happen very quickly. I think there's a veterans hospital in Little Rock that the GSA has had title to or been responsible for, and nothing's happened there for years and years.
For local content like this and much more, subscribe to the Sentinel Record by visiting hotsr.com and clicking subscribe.
When the state told the city in, I think it was May 2019, that they were leaving that building, it cast a big, big cloud of uncertainty over things because nobody knows what's going to happen. 3 years later, really nothing's happened up there. And when you look at it, the state leaving there really affects the radio coverage of the city's, public safety communications, because the city did a big upgrade on its communication system. They started in 2017. They're, migrating to the Arkansas Wireless Information Network. And part of their plan was to put a repeater site up in the tower there of the ACTI building. That would give you really good line of sight into downtown. But right when they were starting to put that equipment up there, the state said, we're leaving. We'll be out of here, in a few months. So they're obviously not going to put all that expensive equipment in a building that's unsecure, and according to the chamber, people are just running amok through there. So now the city has said they've completed their migration to AWIN, but they said they still don't have good coverage in parts of the downtown up in Upper Central Avenue, because the only I think repeater they have that can reach down in there is up on West Mountain. And it doesn't provide, I guess, the same level of coverage as a repeater on the ACTI tower would have been. So there was just all kind of a cascade of consequences that flowed from the state's decision to end that residential training program, which they said had become cost ineffective. They were saying that I think they were spending, you know, like $150,000 per job placement per student. And I guess that's just not a what they consider to be an effective use of their money.
One wonders kind of what prevented Arkansas Rehabilitation Services or just the state in general from providing security for the property from just starting like 2019 or 2020.
Yeah, why didn't they just use state money to do it, you know? They couldn't use their federal funds. You know, why didn't they put this process in place that ARS was talking about last week, you know, in motion 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I think what's gotten it done is, you know, there's been pressure put on by the legislators here, state legislators, and probably from, you know, the congressional delegation too, the two senators and Congressman Westerman to get some kind of security presence over there.
And do you know who the contractor is?
They haven't awarded the contract yet.
Oh, they haven't?
No.
Okay.
I mean, that's a pretty big campus just for, I don't know what kind of security presence they have, but I think even the one that was guarding the campus from late fall of 2019 through July of 2020, you know, it probably wasn't enough to secure that whole 20-acre campus. I mean,
and there was about 24 buildings?
Yeah, back behind the main hospital, yeah. There's quite a few outbuildings. Hmm. And well, there may still be a lot of stuff in those buildings.
Are any of those on the National Register of Historic Places?
I know the big building is, and according to the chamber, many of those smaller outbuildings are also on the National Register of Historic Places. Hmm. Now, by the way, in 2020, Preserve Arkansas, that nonprofit, they put that building on its list of most endangered places.
Kind of circling back to Dr. Jack Porter again, but I'm going to paraphrase what he said, but he kind of said some grave things about the potential environmental hazard to the hot springs. He said something like it would be the end of Hot Springs, the city.
Right, yeah, that was pretty dire, wasn't it?
It was.
I guess if this city doesn't have its hot springs, then, you know, what does it have? If whatever environmental liabilities are present up there are threatening the recharge zone and the springs, then, yeah, I think that would be pretty detrimental to the city.
And what can you tell me about his organization, the Greater Hot Springs Chamber of Commerce, Future of the Army and Navy Hospital Executive Committee?
So in May of 2019, when the state announced they were leaving, I think the first people they actually talked to were the Chamber of Commerce, and then maybe they came right over here and talked to us. And so the chamber put together a committee to try to find out what could they find another use for this building? Could they find another tenant? Now, how are we going to manage the disposition of this building? And they've been working on that for about 3 years. And I think they've found out that the city doesn't really have a lot of influence on how that process is going to work. It's kind of just in the slow-moving gears of the federal bureaucracy right now. You know, it's probably sitting on somebody's desk waiting for something to happen, you know. At least they did get that second phase of the environmental assessment underway. That should expedite things somewhat.
So this is kind of a question you've already answered and not a question that really probably could be answered, but when do you think the property might actually revert to the federal government, and is there a chance it just won't ever? Even with maybe a positive phase two environmental assessment?
I mean, it will revert eventually. I mean, that study, phase two study, is supposed to be done by the end of the year. So first step, obviously, is to get the deed transferred from the federal government back to the state. Well, maybe that could happen by the end of 2023. Then I think once that happens, it would go into like the GSA inventory. And I don't know, probably just, it kind of reminds me of like on Raiders of the Lost Ark where they put the Ark down in that like basement with all that other stuff and just forget about it. Mm. It's kind of like what they're doing with this building, but you know, it's You can't just put it in a crate and shove it in a warehouse somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, I started working here in 2014. That was like a few months after the yellow brick building at the Majestic burned. You know, you've seen the pictures we have in the newsroom of that. That was a blaze. It was a big fire. And, you know, that got everybody thinking about, well, you know, we need some kind of revitalization downtown. They said that, you know, that fire was like a cleansing type fire. You know how like when there's a wildfire out in the wilderness, like a lot of new stuff comes up afterwards by whatever the fire imparts into the soil. And the yellow brick building fire was supposed to be that kind of regenerative thing for downtown. And I don't know, it still seemed like a lot of the legacy buildings down there seem to still be in the same kind of pitiful shape that they've been in for a long time.
I guess that's about all I had, unless there's anything you'd like to add.
I can't think of anything else, Andrew.
Well, thank you very much for coming
on. Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
This has been another episode of Inside the Newsroom, the Sentinel Records weekly podcast that covers topics that may not have been highlighted during the week or that warrant a deeper look. New episodes will come out on Thursdays. Thank you for listening.